All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, just a jumping off spot. We've been studying prayer, and particularly here lately, the model prayer. And we're down to where we're asking about our debts to be forgiven. And in Matthew 6 and verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so we wrote, but we have been teaching about the need to confess our sins, the seriousness of sin in our lives. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so David wanted God to point out his sin and the need to confess sin. And here it pictures sin as a debt, and we talked at length about that. We also last week talked about the difference between horizontal sin and vertical sin, and this idea of forgiving those debts that are against us, and how that we need to vertically come before God and say, Lord, I forgive this person. I don't want anything to stand between me and you. I don't want any spirit of bitterness to enter into my heart. And I want to be right with you, no matter where they're at, no matter if they've repented or not. I'm going to be right with you. And how that it was wrong to just grant a horizontal forgiveness between man and man when there's not been true repentance. And I think that that's caused a lot of problems in Christianity, because men are not being held accountable for their sin. And we also pointed out to you that here, in verse 12, it follows verse 11, and give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The end would imply that daily we ought to search our lives. Daily we ought to go before God and ask for forgiveness of the sins that we have. I just want to read you one little comment here on that. This guy wrote about forgiveness and the blessing of being forgiven and the blessing of being able to forgive. But he says to forgive is to turn the key and open the door and let the prisoner walk free. To forgive is to write in large letters across a debt, nothing owed. To forgive is to shoot an arrow so high and so far that it can never be found again. To forgive is to bundle up all the garbage and trash and dispose of it, leaving the house clean and fresh. To forgive is to loose the moorings of a ship and release it to the open sea. To forgive is to relax a stranglehold on a wrestling opponent. To forgive is to sandblast a wall of graffiti, leaving it looking like new. To forgive is to smash a clay pot into 1,000 pieces so it can never be pieced together again. And so, there's nothing really like the words, I forgive you. I mean, equal to that, and maybe beyond that, is the words, I love you. But for me, when I was saved, to know that I'd been forgiven, and then also to approach someone and tell them of my wrong against them, and admit that, and repent of that, and ask them to forgive me, and for them to say, I forgive you, those are very, very sweet words and important words. And I think that we need to practice saying, I was wrong, please forgive me, and also practice forgiving others. Now, I want to take one more whack at this idea of forgiveness in a little different light. But if you go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, and being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so what I want to speak about this morning is this idea of forgiving yourself. Focus on the Family. James Dobson wrote this book, and it's called Freedom Through Forgiveness, in which over half the book was given to the subject of forgiving yourself. A recent Fundamental Baptist publication had an article called Be Forgiving, Both of Yourself and Others. And the preacher was quoted saying, learn to forgive yourself. Everybody makes mistakes. The problem is not failing, but failing to take advantage of the provision God has made for our failures. When we confess our sins to Christ, we may know that we have forgiven and cleansed, because that's exactly what he promises in 1 John 1:9. God has forgiven you, then forgive yourself. And so many sincere speakers and teachers talk about this idea of forgiving yourself. And one man at this conference had a number of incidents that he related. He said, a note slid under my door and skittered across the floor of my room at the retreat center where I was the weekend speaker. The note said, I had an abortion 7 years ago. I can't forgive myself. Can you give me hope? A large gentleman wore a Jesus t-shirt and a cap and a huge Bible, carried a huge Bible, and a very image of an eager Christian. And he said, I look good on the outside, but inside there is all this ugliness. I can't forgive myself. A young couple, picture perfect, Christian newlyweds, stand at the floor. We have been virgins technically when we married, he said, but only by the strictest definition. We feel so guilty about the fooling around we did, she added. We can't forgive ourselves. And so I think we need to take a look at this. First of all, let me just say to you that this idea of forgiving yourself cannot be supported in the Bible. Self-forgiveness. You can take your Bible and you can read it from Genesis to Revelation, and you'll find verses speaking about God's forgiveness of man. You can find the verses like we've explored here in the last couple of weeks about forgiving those that have wronged us and that have repented. But you're never going to find a verse or even a hint of a verse that talks about forgiving yourself. You can go to the libraries, you can pick out old sermons by Spurgeon or Moody or whoever you like to read after, Truett, a great Baptist preacher, and Carroll, and you'll not find a message about forgiving yourself, and neither is it alluded to in any Bible or any preaching. And so why is it that we have this idea of forgiving yourself? Well, I think really it flows from what I call, and others have called, psychobabble. This idea of having a right self-esteem, this idea about self-love. And the very thought of a person forgiving themselves is unreasonable. It really makes no sense if you think about it. When I sin against God, it's God who I sin against, and I need to confess that to God, and God forgives that sin. When I sin against another person, I need to be specific with that person and talk to them and repent of that and seek their forgiveness. And when others seek forgiveness from me, I need to forgive it. But to sin against yourself and then forgive yourself is unreasonable. And let me first of all say that all sin, whether it's against your brother or against your sister or against your parents, all sin is sin against God. And David said when he sinned with Bathsheba, he said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that I might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And so I just want you to think a little bit about the silliness, and then we'll get into more of the seriousness, because there is a serious part of this when a person genuinely has had an abortion and they say, I can't forgive myself. You just can't laugh that off. It's got to be dealt with, but it's got to be dealt with spiritually and biblically. But let me just paint a little silly picture for you. I'm out here working. I have a hammer, and I've never have been a great carpenter, never wanted to be, and I knew it was futile. But I hit my thumb, and I let out a curse word, and then I say to myself, Gene, I'm sorry for using such bad language. Will you please forgive me? Well, that's a sin against God, not a sin against me. Let me give you another example. I have this $50 bill stuck away. I'm going to buy Christmas presents with it. But I have an overwhelming, coming home from work, I just have this overwhelming desire. My wife's going to be leaving next week, so I might be able to work this out. But I have this overwhelming desire to go to Turtle Club. And so I go in there and I steal that $50 that I have that's designated towards Christmas presents, and I go to Fox to have some prime rib at the Turtle Club. Susie comes home from Seattle, and she sees me with a checkbook and asks me what am I doing, to which I reply, oh, Susie, I'm so ashamed. I stole $50, and I spent it at the Turtle Club. I've asked forgiveness, but I know I need to make restitution. To show my sincerity, I think I should do like Zacchaeus and restore the money fourfold. Will you please make me a check out for $200? She replies, that's terrible. I'm glad you have sought forgiveness. Who should I make the check out to? To which I reply, make it out to Gene Humphrey. Well, that makes no sense. I mean, I might try that, but to seek forgiveness of yourself, to forgive yourself, it makes no sense. And, oh, that's a bit humorous, but when a person says I had an abortion 7 years ago and can't forgive myself, can you give me some hope? Or a gentleman says I look good on the outside, but I'm ugly on the inside and I can't forgive myself. Or the young couple who weren't really pure before their marriage and said we can't forgive ourselves. Here are some people with some real problems and some real needs. And those need to be dealt with, but they need to be dealt with, as I said, biblically. And when a person, let me first just say, when a person has those thoughts and has those statements and say, I can't forgive myself, one of the real problems that is evident in that statement is they're feeling guilt. We have this statement, I'm eating up with guilt. And really, that's a pretty good statement. David said, my bones waxed old, and he felt dry there in Psalms 32, and he's talking about the time that he lived in sin, or not confessing his sins, and how he was just eaten up with guilt. It affects people's bodies and souls and their spirit, and it's going to be problems. Of course, the psychologist would say that guilt is unnatural with man. It's artificially forced upon you by religious people. But and you know that I'm okay and you're okay, and we just need to move on with life. But actually, guilt is God's warning system to mankind, telling them they need to stop what they're doing. That it's a warning that the wages of sin is death. It's the warning that the way of the transgressor is hard. It's kind of like pain, you know. I mean, when you have pain, it's a warning, you know, that you better quit what you're doing because that's affecting your body. Well, guilt is God-given, a wonderfully God-given thing in our life to warn us against the consequences of unconfessed sin. And so don't ever feel like you're bad for putting a person on a guilt trip. I mean, if they're not guilty, you shouldn't put them on a guilt trip, and I think there's two sides to that. But when a person has sinned, they need to have expressed to them they're guilty, and that needs to be dealt with. And so there's really, I don't know if this division is, it's not original with me, But there's really three kinds of guilt that I think we need to look at. There's a conscience level guilt, and it kind of goes along with the second one too, but conscience level guilt. And if you go over to Romans chapter 2, and Romans 2:14, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. And so God has set within mankind not only the understanding of a creator, which is talked about in chapter 1 of Romans, but he's also given to every man a sense of right and wrong, a consciousness. And that consciousness, it says here in this verse, it either excuses or accuses people. And so this idea that I can't forgive myself, there's a guilt there that's natural, because God wants us to understand that we're lost, that we need a Savior. And when we get beyond this, that natural thing, then he's going to even give us more help in the schoolmaster of the law to bring us to Christ. But in any society you want to go to, there is a sense in mankind of a sense of right and wrong. And you can't escape it. You may say, I can't get it off my mind. I can't forgive myself. I can't seem to go on. And really, it has nothing to do with being able to forgive yourself, but it's a matter of guilt. And actually, it's a way of God trying to draw you to himself for true forgiveness of sin. And then, for a better word, there's a conviction level of guilt, where I am actually convicted of my sin. Look over in John 16. And again, I think that these two kind of work together. But in John chapter 16, and verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because it believed not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And so it tells us here that the Holy Spirit is sent to reprove us. This thing about, you know, I just can't seem to forgive myself, is an aspect of that is that I'm being reproved of my sin. The Holy Spirit is reproving me of sin, my need of righteousness, and the idea that judgment is going to come. And so, as a result of that, people have this thought that, you know, I can't get over this. I can't get beyond this. There's something wrong with me. I'm always feeling guilty. I'm always feeling bad about what I've done. Well, good. You ought to feel bad about what you've done. But there is a biblical way to deal with that. And so guilt and this idea of not being able to forgive myself is erroneous, but there is a proper way. If you look over there in 1 John, of course, a verse that all of you should know, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Of course, that word confess comes from a compound word, homo lego, and it means, homo means the same, lego to say the same. And so really what it's saying is that when I confess my sin, I'm saying the same thing that God is saying. It's an abomination to God. It's disgusting to God. It's revolting to God. It's a wicked thing. in God's sight. I'm seeing my sin and confessing my sin as God sees it. Sin is said to provoke the anger of God. Sin is said to cause God's punishment. Sin is inexcusable. We try to excuse it, but there's no excuse for sin. We have a will, and we violate our wills, or we will to wit, we will to sin, but it's inexcusable. It can. Sin's a transgression of a law. It's not, the law is like Alaska, but it's an affront to the very creator of the universe. And we must see sin as sin. And I think that, of course, we know, and our church is well balanced in this area, but even this whole idea of I can't forgive myself is reducing sin. For grace to abound, sin's going to have to abound in my life. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I think that we're living in a day, again, I think there's cycles throughout history, but we're living in a day when sin has not been exceedingly sinful. The sin is just glossed over. You know, when we talk to people about the good person questions, well, if you told a lie, what does that make you? And they'll say, it makes me a person. I'm just a person. No, sin is exceedingly sinful. Sin makes you at odds with God. The holy God, because God has been Lord, sin has been the consequences for sin. But even though people try to excuse it, and even though people try to minimize that, this is still working. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit is still working. And people are saying, I just can't get over this. I just can't forgive myself. But the problem is, they need to come clean with God. They need to do business with God. Really, many times when people say, I can't forgive myself, it's really nothing more than a cop-out, not wanting to repent and not wanting to seek forgiveness, not wanting to admit their need. Because actually, there is forgiveness to be had. The Bible says a number of places. Let me read you some verses. Psalmist said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered me from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. He will turn again, and he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquity, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And so, there's forgiveness. And then the third level of conviction or guilt is condemnation guilt. And when I speak of that, I'm not speaking about the Lord, but I'm speaking about Satan. Satan oftentimes pawns himself off as an emissary of the Lord in our conscience. And one of his favorite tactics is to to bring up our past. Things he knows that we feel bad about. He wants to call to our memory how sorry of individuals we are. If you look over in Revelation chapter 12, and look in verse 10, Revelation 12, 10. And I heard a voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Here it tells us that Satan, one of the things that Satan was doing before he was cast down, he's going before God, and he's bringing accusations about our life before God. And saying, "Look at you! Look at your hotshot Humphrey down there today, and look what he did. Aren't you proud of him, God?" And hotshot Humphrey became proud, and he affected honor and glory going to his heavenly Father. And so here's Satan and God the Father, and Satan's accusing us. But never forget, standing right next to God the Father is our lawyer, our advocate. And let me tell you something about this lawyer. He's never lost a case. Never. Because as a judge, he came off the bench and died in our place. But Satan wants to accuse us. Stands before God. Look in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. It says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." He talks about an advocate. Romans tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation in the image of Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Romans chapter 8 says, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is he who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? And so, we need to claim, when we have this condemnation guilt, we need to claim the scriptures that says that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, how do I deal with the guilt of condemnation that has its source in Satan? How do I deal with my past that haunts me? First of all, I think you need to realize there's a difference between Satan's convicting guilt and God's convicting guilt. When God convicts me, he convicts me about a certain sin. I know exactly what I've done, and I know exactly what this sin is, and I know what I need to deal with. Satan basically convicts us about how sorry we are as people and how sorry we are as everything that we've done. But I want to show you a verse, and this verse is very, very comforting to me. Look over in 1 John chapter 3. And verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. That there's times when we're going to feel bad about our past. And our heart's going to condemn us. But understand that God understands. He says in this verse, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God knows about you. Listen, do you think that when you received Christ as your Savior, that he didn't know about all things in your life? You think anything's new to God, you know, that he overlooked and he needs to deal with? No, when he forgave us of our sin, he forgave us from our past and our present, and yet miraculously, even our future sin. And so what it's saying here in this passage is that we can have this condemnation guilt from our own conscience and Satan working in our lives, and we can feel guilty, and our hearts can condemn us. But know that God is much greater than our own hearts. While Satan's goal is to while Satan's goal is to get you to give up, God's goal is that you might shape up. He wants you to move on. And he wants you to believe what he said, that I have forgiven you. It's kind of like the story that was told about these boys, these church boys, young boys that went to church. One of their pet cat had died. And so they went out and dug a grave and buried the cat, and they had this funeral. And they thought, well, let's leave the cat's tail sticking out, because this funeral service was so much fun, we might want to do it again. And so they went out there and they pulled the cat up by its tail and have another funeral service and sing some songs and bury him again and pull him up and bury him again and pull him up. Until finally they went out one day and grabbed the tail, and the tail was so rotten it broke off. And so they thought, well, maybe we should just leave it where it's at. And see, what Satan wants to do, and he wants us to do, he wants us to go and dig it up again, and dig it up again, and dig it up again. When Jesus said, the Bible says that I've buried it in the deepest sea, that I've removed it as far as the east is from the west. And no, we can't ever escape, we can't erase our minds, and we know that. But what we need to understand is that really when we say, I can't forgive myself, we're really, it's a prideful statement. Because it's not about us forgiving ourselves, it's about God forgiving us and trusting in God to deal with it, and that he has dealt with it. We're telling God, I'm sorry. It's not that I don't appreciate what Jesus did for me. I really do. I mean no offense, but I have to forgive myself on this issue in my life. It's not been dealt with. Well, that's not humility. That's really pride. And he said that we ought to realize that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And really, for a Christian to keep saying, I can't forgive myself, it's really a double standard. Because if someone would come to me and they would say, you know, Pastor Humphrey, I've done this, I feel really bad about it, I just can't seem to forgive myself, then I would take him to 1 John 1:9 and say, if you'll do business with God, if you'll be serious, if you'll say what God says about this, then the Bible promises that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And it's not about you, it's about him. And you by faith need to claim that. You by faith need to embrace that. You need to understand that God has forgiven it by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. To give that advice and then turn around and let Satan work in my life and say, man, I just can't get over this. I just can't forgive myself. It's a double standard. I mean, we're not going to tell people, well, you ought to feel guilty. And you ought to, you know, you're never going to forgive yourself. It's not about you forgiving yourself. It's about God forgiving you. And God's no respecter of persons. And it's about not allowing Satan a stronghold in our life. Look over in Psalms 86. I think really when we go about concentrating on our sin and saying I can't forgive myself, it's really a lack of understanding of who the Lord is and the great personage of the Lord. We need to focus on forgiveness and not upon our failure. In Psalms 86 and verse 5, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon you, upon thee. When we focus upon ourselves like this, we're basically saying something like this: Lord, I have a better memory of my confessed sins than you do. Lord, I have a more rigid requirement for forgiveness than you do. Lord, I'm harder on myself than you are on me. How foolish of me, Lord. All I need to do is experience and enjoy your forgiveness. It's incomplete. It's complete. And instead of focusing on my failure, from now on I'm going to focus on your forgiveness. Well, basically, again, this idea of forgiving yourself. This idea when the counselors come and say, you just need to forgive yourself. Well, remember when Jesus said to the woman, I forgive you, go and sin no more. And the scribes and Pharisees and religious people said, who can forgive sins but God only? And, of course, the point was that Jesus is God. Well, listen, when we get this idea that I just can't forgive myself, you know what? You're absolutely right in one aspect of it, because only God can forgive. And let's realize that when we confess our sins, he does forgive. And the past is the past. We reap what we sow. David confessed his sin, but he still had to reap from his sin. But his sin wasn't held against him. His sin was forgiven. He was cleansed. You see, you need to understand that, let's say there's a girl here, someone joins our church, and she comes from a bad background, and she's had an abortion. She's killed a life. But let me say to you that she stands in the presence of God as pure as any person who's ever sinned against God. Her sins have been forgiven. They've been blotted out. She's been cleansed. And you see, that's the truth that we need to get into our own lives, and that's the truth that we need to communicate to other people's lives. What I did was wrong, absolutely wrong, 100% wrong. It was horrible. It was an abomination. It was evil. But I am accepted in the Beloved. I'm a child of the King. I've been forgiven. And my past is not going to be a ball and chain that I pull around. I'm not going to fly it as a trophy. I don't want to talk about it. It's sin. But I am a new creature. Okay? And so that's what this whole thing about forgiveness is about. It's a focusing upon ourselves. When we say, I can't forgive myself, instead of focusing upon the Lord, okay? And so you're going to find people that say that. There's a world out there that hasn't dealt with their sin properly, and they're going to feel like, I can't forgive myself. And you need to say to them, you're absolutely right. You never will and never can, but God can. And he can make you a new creature. And behold, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Okay? Any questions? That's good. You're dismissed.